The pony story resumes here. Now, can you tell me where we're at in the pony story? What's the last thing that actually happened?
I don't know.
Because I've got a dreadful memory.
I think that Crystal saw the poet sitting on the toilet.
Crystal, the one of the ponies, saw the poet? Oh, John F. Dean.
Yes.
Sitting on the toilet.
Yes.
And what did Crystal do then when she saw the poet sitting on the toilet?
She went to get the others.
And did the others come? I can't remember. Did Silver come?
Diamond? I think that we just stopped there.
So we've got a poet on Achill Island sitting on a toilet. And is he writing poetry while he's sitting on the toilet?
Yes.
Because, yes, John F. Dean writes poetry all the time, doesn't he?
Yes.
He's just like a poetry machine. And I think he's got a very long beard. Right, and he's on Achill Island?
Yes.
And his beard is white?
Yes.
Okay. But what about the princess? What's her... Did she say anything to the poet?
Not yet, because I don't think that she saw him yet. Only that Crystal saw him first.
So Crystal ran back and got the others to come. Pull them through the rhododendrons, which the island of Achill was covered in. And together, suddenly, they all found themselves, the princess and the four ponies, right in the middle of a clearing in Achill Island, and sitting there on top of some warm stones was a man with a long beard. Now, what on earth was he writing poetry with? I can vaguely remember that he used certain things. Berry juice.
Yeah.
Berry juice were his ink.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the stick was his pen.
The stick was his pen. And I don't remember if he got the stick from any particular tree or anything like that.
I think a particular tree, and carved it into a particular shape.
He did carve it into a particular shape. Maybe it was a stick from a rowan tree.
Yeah.
Could it be? Often poets write with rowan trees. Okay. And what would he have carved? I mean, on Achill Island, what on earth would a bald poet with a hat on his head, what on earth would he have used to carve the stick? He'd have had to use something. I got an idea.
A nettle?
You'll have to explain that to me.
A thorn.
Aha, a sharp thorn.
Yeah.
And the sharp thorn, could you really get a really sharp thorn that would be sharp enough to carve a stick?
No.
I thought that one thing is the poets in Ireland used to be very fierce in the old days. But they weren't like they are today. In the old days, kings used to be afraid of poets.
Why?
Because poets had a way with words that could turn the people against the king. And the poets were so good at writing. And when people heard, or even so good at talking, even when the people heard what the poet had to say about the king, people could all be laughing about the king. So the kings didn't like to have poets who they weren't friendly with. But it's possible that maybe John F. Dean was a kind of poet with very sharp teeth. And he could put a stick into his mouth and pull the stick through his mouth and sharpen the stick to a point where he'd be able to write with it.
Wow.
Oh yes, John F. Dean had been around a long time. He was the kind of poet who sharpened his teeth on stones. because he was always listening to stones. And when John F. Dean was listening to the stones talking, he often rubbed his teeth against the edge of the stones, and his teeth were incredibly sharp. But he only ate vegetables. He was a vegetable eater.
That means vegetarian.
Yes, that's right. He was an early vegetarian.
No, a vegetarian.
Yeah. He was a vegetarian. That's right. Ate vegetables. But he had one little treat that he used to give himself.
Berries?
What?
Berries.
Berries? Yes, he did love berries. But every week he would swallow one fish. Now, he wouldn't eat the fish. He would swallow it. He had a very peculiar habit, which was that he would find a small fish in a stream, which he would catch, and he would swallow it. Pardon?
And then clean it.
He would clean the fish out first. You're absolutely right. Because, oh my goodness.
If take the brain out, take the heart out,
No, he would eat the bones. He had sharp teeth. Well, no, he swallowed the bones, but he had a very tough stomach, this poet, a really tough stomach. And also, he would swallow the heart and brain of the fish. I think fish have a very small brain.
I saw on Come Dine With Me a man, and then they were eating some shrimps.
They were eating shrimps?
Yes. And he was eating the shrimp and he sucked the brain out.
Did he?
Yeah.
And did they talk about him sucking the brain of the shrimp out?
Yes, he sucked the brain of the shrimp out.
And did he crunch the shrimp? Did he eat them? Chew them?
He just sucked the brain out. It was disgusting.
Oh God. Did he throw away the rest?
He left it on his plate.
Oh.
Oh, and a guy nearly fell off his chair in the laughter, in the giggles. he was bursting with giggles.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. And what program was this?
Come Dine With Me.
Come Dine With Me.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was watching it with Rachel at Rachel's house.
Oh, yeah. And was that the adults come dine with me or the children come dine with me?
There isn't children's come dine with me yet.
Oh, right. Anyway, John F. Dean used to swallow a fish. It was well known. And often he used to say that he got some of his best ideas for poems from the fish that he had swallowed. But the princess had never seen any creature that looked like this particular poet. Now, she had often written poetry herself, but she never told anybody the poems that she wrote. She used to, when she was lying there at night, falling asleep under the stars, she would often make up little poems in her head. She once made up one that was very, very... Now, this was a very long time ago, and it was like, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star."
Dad!
Yeah?
She couldn't have, because that's actually a real song.
Yeah, but it was a poem before it was a song. "How I wonder what you are." And star and are rhymed together. I'm sure it was she who invented that poem. But if it wasn't that one, she had another one that said, "High above the star I see lies a land where I want to be." That was the beginning of a very long poem that she made.
Can I hear the very long poem?
Will we bring the very long poem into the story?
Yeah. Pretend that she just sang it when she saw the poet.
Well, as soon as she did see the poet said to her, nothing. He just carried on writing. She went up to the poet and she pulled his beard and he looked up at her. And all he said was, "Go ahead then." So she said, "I have a poem for you." And he said, "Go ahead then." And that's what she said. She said, "High above where I long to be, I have a poem just written for thee. Once along the Milky Way, a blackbird flew. It was a very cool day. The blackbird dark, the bird so fair. There never was a poet with hair." An ancient man in an ancient land, I reach out to hold your hand. And that was the end of her poem.
I thought that she said that it was very long.
Ah, yeah, but it would take me a very long time to tell it to you. And it would keep us for ages. And we're going now to the Mardike for summer camp. And I wouldn't manage to get to the end of the poem by the time we got to the Mardike. Do you want me to carry on with the poem, though? Even if I don't finish it?
No.
I'll tell you a little bit more of the poem that she said to him then. "We have come from a place called Kerry. It's a county which is said to be merry. We've travelled long, we've travelled fair. We even went to the Skelligs there. It was hard climbing up the cliff so steep. I never thought the sea so deep. We flew away after meeting creatures. It was the sort of place that was full of features. To Limerick we went and we met some stallions. All I could think of And then she stopped. Then she stopped. And she thought, she couldn't remember what rhymed with stallions. Can you think of any word?
Chillion.
What?
Chillions. Stallions. Nallions.
Trillion. Did you say?
Nallions.
Nallions. Right. And what does nallions mean?
I don't know.
It might. What? Yeah, nallions. Oh, there's another word we could do too. Scallions. Scallions are onions. Could we put onions in a poem?
No.
Or maybe we could put onions in with stallions. What do you think? Would onions rhyme with stallions?
No. Doesn't rhyme.
Well, the other one is, "And then we went sailing in the sea where there were galleons. Their boats. And Grainne Whale met Hiawatha."
And Dad, that wasn't the next county. It wasn't. You forgot Clare. Clare's the next county.
Oh, you're right. "To a fairy land we next set out. It was fierce and dark. And there were bats about.
We got tricked by a fairy."
Yes.
"We got tricked by a fairy."
Go on.
"As easy as that. They dressed up as an old woman and then gave a shout."
"My hat! My hat! They've taken my hat! A bat! A bat! He's flying! Take that!" Anyway, It's very difficult to drive the car and remember the poem that the princess told. So I'm going to have to take a break.
Okay, anyway, well, we're not going to finish the poem.
No,
so
we'll have to...
we keep on doing the story?
Yeah.
So, so the princess stopped and saying the poem and asked the... and asked the poet if that was enough.
The poet had tears in his eyes. There were two long rivers of tears streaming down his cheeks. He was touched. He was so, so happy. He had never had a princess come to him on Achill Island, find her way through all the rhododendrons, and find him sitting on hot stones.
Going to the toilet.
Going to the toilet, reciting a poem to him. And it made him the happiest poet who had ever been alive. And at that point, I think we'll stop the story. And we'll come back to it later. End of the resumption of the pony story.